Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Welcome to another edition of Career Callings, where our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. Now, also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, available on their websites and on their mobile apps. And if you've been blessed by the Career Callings Radio Show and like to buy stuff on Amazon.com, please consider shopping on Amazon.com from our careercallings.net/resources page. Career Callings is an affiliate with Amazon.com, so each purchase you make by linking to Amazon from our resources page will go to support the show. That's careercallings.net/resources. I am excited to introduce our featured guest today on the Career Callings Radio program, and that is Brian Ray. Brian Ray is an advisor, speaker, writer, and author of the book Created for Good Works. He's also founder of Crossroads Career Network, which I am a member of, if I may say so. It's a national membership of churches and career ministries that are designed to do exactly what we're doing here at Career Callings, which is helping people find God's vocational calling for their lives and giving them the tools and the inspiration to follow God's lead. Brian's also owner of Primus Consulting, which helps organizations recruit and develop the right leaders in the right roles. He also served for a time as VP of Human Resources and Administration for Chick-fil-A restaurant chain. And looking at the biography that I found here on LinkedIn, Brian, I could keep on going and going and going with the intro, but I think I'll let you fill in the gaps there on your biography. Welcome to the Career Callings Radio program.
Great. Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. And if you don't mind, take a minute or two to kind of maybe add a little bit more flavor to your career journey. What kind of has led you to where you are now in your service to the Lord career-wise? Give us a little bit of a feel. Take us down a walk down the yellow brick road, so to speak.
In the land of Oz.
The land of Oz.
Yeah. So, actually, my career started in the advertising agency business. And I've had that as sort of a echoing operating background ever since. Not long after I accepted Christ at age 29, the Lord was kind enough to start stepping me out of the advertising business. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that he wanted me to go a different direction, and I wound up going into the executive search business. And my primary clients were advertising agencies and marketing companies or corporations, but they were using me to recruit marketing and advertising people. So that would be a chunk that might help from a seasoning point of view, we'll call it. I think the next thing that comes to my mind is that the Lord led me into the Chick-fil-A company, and at my original thought, in fact, they were a client of mine for, I guess, a couple of years in the executive search business, and then one thing led to another, and they invited me over there, and I went, oh, wow, that's great. So I did that, and when I left there, I couldn't think of another company that I'd rather work for, So I started my own, and that was, wow, that's, all of a sudden I can't even remember what the year was. It was a lot of years ago, and it wasn't until last year that I actually closed the company, and then this past summer, not this one, but last August, I turned over the reins to Crossroads Career Network to two other guys. One is a board chair and the other is executive director. And so I've officially now retired. But really, I think about it as rehirement.
Yeah, there you go.
If I could spell that for you, rehirement is spelled rehigher-meant. So it's higher as in upward, and it means something. So therefore, it's rehirement. And I'm still investing most of my whatever time I have and talent that's left and treasure. I'm mostly investing that in the Crossroads Career Ministries, but not from an operating point of view.
I tell you what, though, with that background and that yellow brick road that you have indeed traveled, you have a lot of insights for the folks listening to Career Callings to help them understand, number one, how to discover their vocational calling, and number two, what to do to actually pursue it. So I want to kind of start diving into those insights right now and ask you a series of questions to try to grab out of you stories from your life that could really guide folks along their path.
Okay.
So the first
thing,
yeah. You know, whenever you have good news and bad news, people always like to say, well, give me the bad news first so I can get it over with. So I'm going to start with that question here about some bad news from your career journey. I want you to take us to a time that you would define as your worst career moment or worst career failure, however you wish to label that, and help us understand what happened and what lesson you learned from that. Take us to that story.
When I started with the advertising agency business, I accepted Christ, and then the Lord presented me with an opportunity, which does not necessarily mean I should take it, but I took it. And it was a really easy decision for me because it was a roughly 75% increase in pay. It was a entirely different category of company. I was working for a 100-employee company. This was 60,000 employees, and I was at headquarters as a manager of a new division for which I was doing all the marketing and advertising. So it was just a huge step up. So what could possibly be wrong with that?
Right, right.
Okay, so 3 months later, I'll tell you exactly what it was. I ran into the division operations head that I was supporting and discovered that he was absolutely positively against everything I was in doing. So 2 months after that, I left. But there I was, you know, all of a sudden I was in a place called Moline, Illinois, nowhere near where I was from, and with like no job and just hung out to dry. And I thought at that moment, this is a career limiting move. And so I look back on that and go, you know, I'm really glad God did that because, it was just one of those steps that it put me out there all by my lonesome. And it was me and the Lord in a much tighter relationship because I couldn't figure this one out.
What was the main reason you decided to take that job in the first place? What was the main attraction for you?
You mean aside from the money and fame and power and position and, oh, nothing.
Bingo. That's what I thought was the reason why you took it. And that leads up to my takeaway. In all my studies and all my interviews, one of the biggest reasons why people make career mistakes, career choice mistakes, is that they're basing the decision mostly, if not entirely, on the money side of the career choice, not understanding that that is only a component. And granted, we all need money to eat and all that good stuff. I get that. We got mortgage payments to pay and bills to pay, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, choosing a work just for the money, very oftentimes, if not more often times than not, creates misery in some shape, form, or fashion, unless you first have consulted the Lord on whether or not you should take that step. And that's the takeaway I got. What's the takeaway? What's the lesson you would want the Career Callings radio, listeners to get from that story yourself, Brian?
Well, it's always about the money, and it's always about more than the money. And the more than the money part of it was I was stepping up into the, quote, big leagues. It was a Fortune 100 company. I was in the advertising marketing arena, so one of the largest ad agencies in the country was the one that was serving me. And so I got to, you know, take trips into Chicago to see the agency guys. And so there was just a whole another level of we'll call it professionalism and budgets and all the rest of that in terms of being able to do some great work.
Looking back on that time of your life, Brian, knowing what you know now about the career choices that people should make for the Lord, is there anything that you would have done differently to better source that job before taking it?
Yeah, so the lesson is look before I leap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I didn't. I didn't do the additional homework. These days, I'd probably call it referencing the employer before you say yes. And it doesn't mean that you turn down something that looks like it might be really tough or hard or bad, because the Lord will absolutely let you go do stuff that is actually good for you. It just doesn't taste good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's another great takeaway. A lot of people don't, you know, it's been hard for me over the years to understand that the hiring process is a two-way street, especially when we're younger. We always think, man, we've really got to impress that employer. We also need to realize that as a worker that provides value to our employer, they have just as much responsibility to prove that they can provide value to us. Mm-hmm. And not only is that in an employer-employee relationship, but that's in a business's relationship as well. Because there are some clients in my business that just, you know, there are some clients in my business that just aren't worth the hassle, and they're not bringing me enough value to take them on. So, you know, it's a two-way street. We need to realize that. Back in a minute with more from our featured guest. Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings. audibletrial.com/careercallings. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break to Career Callings, 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or Robbie at careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Let's get back to our interview with our featured guest. What has been your biggest career success, and what made it so successful?
I think it was the process of letting go of what I thought would be best and just simply following the Lord, whatever my best understanding was that he wanted me to do. And by that, that doesn't mean I'm some sort of destination, position, or state of being. I mean just one step at a time. And it took me a few years just to kind of work through that. That the example that comes to my mind is in the late 90s, I was spending most of my time with the Primus executive search business, but by that time the Crossroads Career Ministry was up and running, and I'd actually gotten to the point where I'd sort of been spending half my time in one and half my time in the other, and just not really just kind of going back and forth. And then I finally realized, you know, you can't do 50-50. You can do 80-20 or 20-80, but that's tough for me to do 50-50. And so there came a point, and best I can tell, it was right around in 1998-ish, that I actually flipped, and I spent about 20% of my time on the Primus Consulting business and 80% of my time on Crossroads Career. And now that's important because Crossroads Career has not been a place where I earn money. That's where I invest money as well as time and whatever talent I might have. So to move to a 20% of my work time is revenue producing and the rest is not, is that's just this. I don't tell many people that because they go, are you crazy?
Yeah, so, really. I hear you.
So in any case, I think that was one of the best decisions I made, is to separate the employment from the income. so that I can work as unto the Lord, and he will provide for me whatever that may look like. Quick story. So there was another time in year 2000 where I was challenged to actually start the Crossroads Career Network. There'd been the Crossroads Career Services, but to actually translate that into a network of churches was the concept, that each would have their own Crossroads Career Ministry. So in year 2000, I took a, quote, leave of absence from my own business in order to start the Crossroads Career Network piece of it. So that meant I quit taking a paycheck. Now I'm really out there blowing in the wind. Right. And so my first paycheck actually came from Allstate. There'd been a rainstorm with some hail, and I didn't even notice that my car had been dinged a little bit. In fact, anyway. So the bottom line is, the Allstate guy came along and wrote me a check for $47. I went, oh my gosh. And this was after I'd quit taking income at all. That was not what I was planning on.
How much was that number again? I lost you on the phone.
$4,700.
Oh, wow.
So in any case, and so I started fundraising for the ministry. And I called one of my clients who was a venture capitalist sort of a guy. He said, yes, no, that's great. Sounds wonderful. Look, I have a foundation guy. And so if you'll write this guy. And of course, at that point, all I was hearing was blah, 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 blah. And so I thought, oh, this is terrible. I don't think I could do this fundraising thing. And he said, by the way, one of the deals that we had done, he said, I just sold some of that. So let me just go ahead and send you a check for that. And so a couple of days later, a guy with brown shorts came to the door and handed me a check for $47,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Back then, that's not that far, but, you know, year 2000, that was sort of like, oh, my gosh, that covers, I'm done for the rest of the year. I need no money. So fabulous. I just love the way the Lord provides if you'll just be obedient.
You know, my big takeaway from that is seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, we get so caught up in we got to make the money. We got to make the money. And, you know, the Bible's clear. We do need to be diligent in whatever work God has given us to do. But your life stories there just indicate that, you know what, if God's called you to a work and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, do it anyway. Because if you seek God's will, he will provide. In some Great. Shape, form, or fashion, and probably in a way we would never have imagined, which makes it all that much more awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have another takeaway from that that you would share, or did I nail it pretty much on the head there?
No, you got it.
All right. I'm not as dumb as I look then. Thank goodness this is a radio show. People can't see my face. Was there a time in your life when you were maybe confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if the answer is yes, When did that smoke clear? How did God clear up the smoke for you?
Well, I think the thing we talked about earlier, kind of going back and forth between Primus, the business, and Crossroads Career, the ministry. It wasn't they, both of them were clear, but I wasn't in terms of what each of them were doing. But what I was unclear about is which was first. And that finally resolved itself when the Lord went, yeah, if both of them are ministering,
mm-hmm.
so one is a business platform, which, by the way, is a wonderful ministry platform if you're in China. And then ministry, if you're not really careful, it'll be all about the business of ministry. Mm-hmm. So I think that it resolved itself when I realized, yes, all of my breaths are his. So, you know, don't worry about the platform I'm on. Whatever I'm doing, it's not just for him. It's with him and in him.
That'll preach, man. That will preach. In 60 mm-hmm. seconds or less, what three things would you tell a new startup business owner or ministry startup What are the three things you'd tell them to do in order to be successful in pursuing that calling?
Okay. Number one, seek to serve, not to get. Number two, be really clear about your proposition or business model. And I would say number three is don't be afraid to fail. In fact, I've heard a lot of guys, and it's true of me too, is that I had one business in particular I'm thinking of that I started, and I just loved it, but it failed.
Oh, no. What was that?
And it was a brand called Career Tip. And it was a media advertising marketing attempt to get people involved in their careers. And I was not holding back on the Jesus factor at all, even though it was on a business platform. But I just found that the people who really want to pay for those kinds of things, employers pay. Schools don't pay, employees don't pay, individuals don't pay. I mean, they might pay a little bit, but to have a sustainable model, if you're going to be in that space, and I have been in all those spaces in one form or another, the guys that pay are the employers. So the closest I ever got, in fact, I started out by immediately spending $30,000 and going into the hole. And I got out because I found a handful of employers that were willing to sponsor me doing workshops in colleges and universities on their behalf and using that brand. So that's another business that I quietly folded away.
I tell you what, though, you didn't lose long term by that, because you learned some valuable lessons, and now you've been able to share them with at least us if you haven't shared them with others. So there's value there. Do you have a business habit that you've consistently adhered to that has driven your career success over the years?
Yeah, it's business, but it's also personal, and that's do the hard stuff first. And if it's something that I'm afraid of or just don't want to do, just get on it. I've read it through and now I'm reading it again. It's a book called In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. And so my takeaway is, yeah, I need to learn to chase lions as opposed to run away like a scaredy cat. So that would be the other thing is, you know, if it's going to be a hard or an ugly or a bad thing, it's not better later. Jump now.
My guess is after listening to this fantastic interview where you were the star, some people are going to want to be able to connect with you and reach out to you in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So what's the best way people can connect with Brian Ray?
Yeah, and I would be glad to help anybody. So the easiest way to tag me is by email, and that is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at crossroadscareer.org. Brian at crossroadscareer.org.
Sage advice from Master Brian Ray. Brian, thanks so much for being on the program today, buddy. Thanks so much.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Take care. Have a blessed day.
You too. God bless. If you are blessed by today's interview like I was, then please visit careercallings.net/radio. To access your copy of today's broadcast. You'll also be able to get links to the resources we mentioned in our discussion, and you'll be able to access the extra wisdom today's guest gave me in our special bonus interview, which is only available on the podcast version of Career Callings. Be sure to visit careercallings.net to access those extra goodies. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings. Let's talk about strengths and weaknesses, because one thing I've been learning over my lifetime and will continue to learn is that, you know, you just can't do everything on your own, because people have strengths, people have weaknesses, and we need to figure out how to deal with those and focus on our strengths and shore up our weaknesses through the help of other people. So tell me, what's your biggest weakness in the workplace? What is it you're just not really super good at?
Yeah, so that's another fairly long list. I'm not good at most things. However, I went through a process of having, I remember I asked 50 people out. It was more than 35 who gave me feedback, formalized. It's called Checkster, by the way. So that if you've not ever tried Checkster, you can try that out. But in any case, the feedback was as follows. So yes, Brian, will miss details. He's also easily distracted and sometimes unfocused, and it's easy to get overcommitted, and particularly at this end of life, I discover that as each year rolls by, the physical and mental capacity begins to diminish at some rate. So those are they overlap, of course. So that they all kind of get together like a gang. No, it's not a gang. It's a club. But in any case, so the biggies is don't give me details. Help me stay focused, and tell me when I'm about to overrun my headlights.
How have you tried to shore up those weaknesses over time? Have you been able to have other people help you out to be that detail person you're not?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things that God has just been so blessing me with is so many positive, meaningful, make a difference people. I rarely do anything by myself because there are so many areas that I need help with, and He's always provided just a variety of people who want to help me do whatever it is I'm doing. The things that I typically bring to the table is that, first of all, the thing that I cannot not do is be a conduit. And I'm a conduit person to person around some sort of idea. Or another way to say it is I'm a creative conduit. So I dream things up and, you know, most of them won't work, but X number will. And so I think that, along with being wired as a believer in whatever God's doing, and as what some people might call a strategic activator. In other words, it's tough for me to do anything without some sort of intention, and that will typically result in some sort of activity. So that's typically it. But you are exactly right. When I go to do something, I'm typically looking for buddies.
I hear you. And I think you've already answered my next question. What's your biggest strength? Would you say that creativity and that big picture mentality is your biggest strength, or would you say something else is?
The conduit is.
The conduit. I like the way you said that. I would facilitator be also another good synonym for conduit?
No, a conduit would be... oh my gosh. I wish I could remember where. I think it's John 15, 16, 17. He's talking about, being a branch, grafted into the vine. And so I'm just a branch office, and His power and everything flows through me. So I just try to stay put, in Him and just let whatever He's doing flow through me. And that typically involves other people. And so it's just being, in fact, another way is to think about it as an electrical conduit, like a wire from a plug to a lamp. And so that it just flows through me. It's not that I'm special in my own right. It's just that it whatever God's doing just flows through me.
Well, this is almost a rhetorical question in your case, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it anyway.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The question I want to ask is, how are you using your career to impact others for Christ? But you've done that, I think it's safe to say, based on what we've discussed so far, in a number of different ways. So let me focus that question a little bit. What do you think is the way that you've impacted others for Christ the most? What's been the most impactful way that you've reached others for Christ using your career?
Yeah. So, using my, I think I would like to share the one verse that's kind of the operating verse, as it relates to everything work related, and it certainly can be personally related too. But the verse is Ephesians 2:10. It talks about each of us are God's workmanship or masterpiece created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance that we walk in those good works. And so whenever I'm talking to somebody, whether they're a believer, whether they're not a believer, whether it's a business platform, a ministry platform, or a tennis platform, or an elevator, or wherever it is, and the conversation, I am automatically appreciating that individual is one of God's masterpieces. And I don't mean as a thing, I mean as a person. And just the joy I have in reflecting that back to them, because most people don't have any idea how they are God's masterpiece. They don't even think that they are God's, let alone his masterpiece. But even believers just don't realize how wonderfully made they really are, and that there's a reason for that, and that the reasons have already been laid out and prepared. All they really need to do is to follow him, and one step at a time. So just the opportunity to listen to people and reflect back and maybe suggest a new thought to them, or it just takes a variety of things. But that one verse I find, and there are others that are like it, but just to pick one, Ephesians 2:10 is my operating verse, if you will.
Gotcha. Well, has there ever been a time in your life when God directed you down a career path that just did not make sense to you, or maybe you didn't want to go down? And if so, what happened with that?
So, that's a great question. So early 2000, one of the guys that was in that Bible study I was talking to you about earlier, don't walk this way. Anyway, he became interested in missions, and in particular going to China. And so my wife and I became his sort of platform sponsor, to help people get all excited about what he was doing. And he went. And, before the year was gone, a year had gone by, some of the folks at church said, "So Brian, why don't you and a couple other guys go over there and see what he's doing and see how you can help?" And I went, that's how many hours in an airplane?
Yeah.
How many words of Chinese do I speak?
That's right.
And I was afraid. I just did not want to go. But I went because that was my buddy. I was being more than just asked. And so I went. What's the result? Well, First of all, my buddy is well-grounded. He now lives over there. It wasn't just a short-term trip. So he went over in year 2000 or 2001, something along there. I think my first trip was 2001 or 2. And so that's been a little while ago now, and he's just back in the country right now. But, you know, he's started a manufacturing plant over there. He's been doing consulting, and he's been doing great. My best friends, who is Chinese, in fact, I've got a couple of them over there that are, I mean, these are really close friends. And so I walked away with not only helping my buddy and participating in what he was doing, but I also made friends in the Lord. Some of them had accepted Christ while I was there. And some of them were already believers and were bolstering my faith. And this was back in the days when some of the guys, if you went in interior, we were in Chengdu, so that's pretty far into the country, they were wearing the Mao suits that looked like pajamas, the gray pajamas of the lad. That was still, I mean, you'd still see that. And being a city of 8 million people, and there's maybe 200 white guys. And, I mean, it was just very uncomfortable, but it was very God all the way through.
I tell you, my lesson learned from that is a lot of times God is going to ask us to do things. In your case, it was a short trip over there to visit a friend. But career-wise, a lot of times he's going to show us a path that yep. we're just going to have an automatic reaction of fear, or perhaps we might think it's inconvenient, so we don't want to do it.
Sure.
But what you're telling me is that, you know, when you do what God wants you to do, even if you don't understand it on the front end or even want to do it on the front end, there's going to be blessings galore and
right.
and personal fulfillment of your soul by having obeyed that call. So that's my takeaway from that. What's your number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that has driven your various career successes over the years?
Personal time alone with the Lord early every morning. It started with, you know, 7 minutes of prayer. I can remember that. A little booklet by, I've forgotten his name at the moment. But in any case, if I could crank an hour or two or more alone with him, whether that's reading, praying, journaling, worshiping, just sitting and being and abiding in him, appreciating all that he is and he is doing. The one prayer request that is a go-to for me is, if I'm abiding in Christ always and always, everything's fine. It doesn't matter what's going on, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. If I'm abiding in Christ always and always, life is great. And so it starts early in the morning for me. Doesn't mean it doesn't, you know, try to stay with it throughout every minute of the day, but that's very intentional time.
I tell you, it's amazing. Almost every guest I've asked that question of has answered the very same thing. So you are in good company, sir. I am curious to know, what time of the morning do you get up?
It varies. I'm typically up around 4, but there are times that it's 2 or 3, and which case, if it is 2 o'clock in the morning, then I'll be up for an hour or two and come back to bed. And it's really sweet sleep from then on out, because I've, you know, bathed my brain and, for an hour or two in him, and then go back to sleep. And then my mind just works on it while I'm asleep.
What time do you go to sleep, man? 6 p.m. at night?
Sometimes.
It's amazing. I love it. Do you happen to have a productivity tool? It could be internet based, it could be non-internet based, but do you have like a productivity tool of some kind that you use that has enabled you to achieve maximum effectiveness in the workplace?
Absolutely. In fact, I use it as part of my quiet time before the Lord. It's a highly technical, and I hope I don't lose you as I describe some of the details in this, but it's called a composition notebook.
What is
5x7?
That must be the newest IT stuff on the planet.
So, in any case, but that's what I use for journaling, and everything goes in there. And I'll write down whatever I think is my thoughts on the left side of a page, and then whatever I think are his thoughts will be on the right-hand side of the page. So I wind up with written dialogue back and forth through the pages, and then I keep it. In fact, it's open right now as I look at the notes from my last meeting. So I have one place where I can write whatever I want and draw pictures and make charts and whatever I want. And that is far and away my number one productivity tool.
That's awesome. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it is complemented by an Apple MacBook and an iPhone.
Now you're ruining the whole,
When I show up in a meeting, I've got all three in the stack.
I love it. I love it. Very good. Well, if you could recommend just one book other than the Bible, because we know on Career Callings, the Bible is the number one book all of us should read. But if you could recommend one book other than the Bible for our listeners, what would it be and why?
Well, actually, that's a rotating one book, because the Bible is the one book, and currently featuring the book of Mark, where I'm learning that Jesus, yes, he taught in the synagogues, but it was about one-on-one ministry. And so that just has a huge lesson all by itself. I am liking currently the Lion book. And I just picked up one, written by, Bobby, Richardson. And, he was a Yankee, playing from 1955 to 1966. And the name of his book is Impact Player, a believer since his teens. And, oh, let me think. What was, oh, yes. And what attracted me to him is about a week ago, somebody said, yeah, you need to do simple prayers like Bobby Richardson's prayer, which went like this: Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen.
Short and sweet, to the point. I like it.
Yeah. So of course, I immediately went to the internet and found the book, and now I'm reading that. So that is my current favorite, as I'm still hearing the In the Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day book. But they continually rotate, and that's another one of those things I continually refresh with other thoughts from other people.
That's wonderful. And, I met Bobby Richardson once a long time ago. He would not know me from Adam, but he was an interesting character. I've got two more questions here I want to throw in here before we wrap up. First one is this. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
Number one, work for fun. And that means you may get a job that was not your pick, but you make it fun. So you work for fun. Number two, try new things. And not knowing that, like baseball, if you get on base, three times out of 10, that's a good average.
Yeah, it is.
So in any case, try new things. And then I guess, echoing similarly to work for fun, and that extrapolation, do what you love, but you also do what you hate when you need to.
Yeah, there you go. We always hear the do what you love thing from our society, but never, or rarely, the second part of that, but you're absolutely right.